When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Thank you so much for listening. Huge show to kick off the NFL season. The host of Monday Night Countdown on ESPN, Scott Van Pelt, joins me for a conversation about hosting that Monday Night Football pregame show, SportsCenter, a bunch of other topics with Scott. It's a long one, and we covered a ton of ground, and it's a perfect interview to get you started for the NFL season. A lot of conversation about bad beats as well with the college football season here, and that tremendous segment that I love. And then Sal Licata joins me after SVP for our weekly Train of Thought segment. NFL week one, talked about some games we liked, did some over-under stuff. And we discussed rewatching The Sopranos because HBO's in the middle of a huge marathon right now. So before we get to it, let me just tell you quickly, if you missed last week's show, Brian Curtis from The Ringer was on, covered a million sports media topics, went through everything. So if you missed that, check it out with Brian Curtis of The Ringer. Kirk Herbstreit on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. Chris Mad Dog Russo. If you want some NFL fixes before the season starts, Greg Olson, Tom Brady were recent guests as well. Also, I'm still sick, so you're going to hear a lot of noises and coughing throughout. You might hear one now. So I apologize, but this is what you're going to have to deal with throughout the show. I am sorry, but there's bad, bad things going on in my throat. So apologize, but it's worth it to hear Scott Van Pelt. So we get to it now. Scott Van Pelt, followed by Sal Licata and Train of Thoughts. All right here, right now, on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. All right, joining me now, one of my favorite people in sports media to talk to. Always love it when he comes on. He is the host of his own Sports Center, the host of NFL Monday Night Countdown, and the man behind the single greatest segment on all of sports TV, Bad Beats, Scott Van Pelt. Scott, how's it going?
Jimmy, always good to be with you. How are you, pal?
I'm good. How are you? I mean, this is if you're us and you're not good this week, there's a problem.
I think of the line that my former colleague, he was still a colleague in media, my friend Colin Cowherd had years ago when he was working with us. There are two seasons in America, football season and waiting for football season. And the wait is over. And it's Stan for Steve and I were talking about this on our podcast yesterday, that I feel like I've aged out of being allowed to use that word, but it's the word, because it just, whether it's fantasy, if you're super into that, whether it's gambling, whether it's both, whether you just like watching football, whether you like college, right, whether you like the NFL, whatever it is that you're into, the buffet is open, and you know, you get a big ass plate and just put all of what you love on there. There's nothing quite like it. And oh, by the way, there's all the other stuff. Before you and I started recording here, we were talking Yankees and Orioles. I mean, the sports world never ends,
right?
But football just escalates things to a completely different place.
And I have this deranged thing where I hate when football starts and it's still like 90 degrees out, but we've had cool weather here, at least here in New York, and that just gets the juices flowing even more for football.
That's perfectly said. Like the last couple of days here in the DC area were those pristine, and I know you had the same ones in New York, those pristine mid-70s, no humidity, the sky is this perfect color blue, and people that live somewhere where they don't deal with humidity and dreck are going, what's the big deal?
Right.
Well, here where we are, I mean, you live for those days, and we know that, that this is just Charlie Brown on the football, because he'll be 95 and hot as hell again soon. But right. but these little sort of appetizers of fall, no question, it definitely makes you just sort of feel football even more.
Yep, absolutely. And we got a lot of football to talk about with Monday Night Countdown, SportsCenter. Let me start with this. The last time you were on the podcast, I think it was the last time, you were saying basically like, you know, in a week you were going to give up SportsCenter or something. And then 5 minutes later, you signed like a 75-year contract. So how are you going to bamboozle me today? Let me get it.
I didn't bamboozle you. Okay. I said was I wasn't going, not the same way as I was doing it, where it was just, here are the things. You guys that cover sports media, you are obsessed with how much money Stephen A is going to get. Like, you love to talk about the money. Well, there's two things to consider when it comes to specifically our place. A, how much money, sure. But then B, how many days and nights are you giving them for the money? And so for me, I just didn't want to reach a place in my life where I was doing a tonnage of those days and nights. It's an honor to do SportsCenter. It's never a hassle to do SportsCenter. But at some point, Jimmy, I have to be honest with myself and say, I'm going to probably do a shitty job of it if I'm doing that many. Right. So what we did in re-examining what it was I was going to do was I was able to wrap up the biggest event we have at ESPN. College football playoffs right there, but Monday Night Football are the biggest standalone events we have all season long. And so my bosses, and I appreciate what they have done, is they said, look, we want you on after the biggest events. So, I mean, as a result, our studio show, like we're always going to get the best ratings because we're handed that baton. But they could give that spot to anybody, and we're the ones that get to do it. But now with Countdown, what you do is you get to bookend the biggest events. You get to be on site. We're going to be at more events this year than we've been in the past. And so doing that means we took a significant number of sports centers off the plate. Now, if they're big events, NBA Finals, this year, Women's College Basketball Tournament was incredible. You know, the Masters and the golf, which I do as well, but the college football playoff, when they're big events, then we're going to do the sports centers that follow. I just won't be doing as many that are 11 o'clock following tape programming. So that's really what we were able to look at is do bigger things. I'm glad they want me to do the bigger things, try to do the best job you can with the big things, and just less of the what I just described. So I wasn't lying to you. I'm happy to keep doing SportsCenter as long as I'm able to do it well enough that they think I should. And also to do the Countdown and SportsCenter following Monday nights, because those, they just feel, it feels like a big deal, because it is.
Yep. All right, let me clear up. Let me ask you this before I clear up anything. Can you tell us how many years the new contract is for?
It's five.
Okay, so you'll be around for a while.
I'll be off, yeah. I mean, you'll be, listen, people are going to be sick of me. Like, when is that guy going to go away?
Never going to happen.
I'm sure people already are, but I got bad news for you. I'm not, you know.
You're not going to. All right,
in the immortal words of Jordan Belfort, I'm not fucking leaving. Not yet, anyway.
All right, two things. When I say you bamboozled me, I don't mind. Like, that podcast got picked up everywhere. So you can bamboozle me all you want. I don't care. We got a lot of headlines out of it. So that's fine with me. I'm just busting your chops. I know how it goes. The other thing, I just want to push back. I feel like if people listen to this podcast regularly, I really don't care about the money. To me, you go get what you can get. Here's where I care about the money in the case of Stephen A. I don't care if he gets 20 million, 25 million, 30. I don't care about that. Does he price himself out and leave ESPN and have to go somewhere else? Then it becomes a story I'm interested in. I really don't care about the actual dollar figures that someone makes. I say get whatever you can from whoever you can, and God bless you. So do I.
Let's be clear. I mean, because listen, I think, you know, Pat has his deal, and that was, you know, people talked about the numbers there. And then they're going to compare it to Stephen A. And then I don't care if you work for us, if you work for Fox, if you're out there doing podcasts. I root for everybody to get every single dollar they can in this goofy ass business, because it's fickle and it's arbitrary, and it's anything that gets you long-term security and right. big dollars for you and your family, go get it. And then if it's a peer, right, if it's a peer who does something similar to what you do, I always make it like it's like a like the housing market. So if the street, the house across the street from you, maybe it's a different house, but it's the same neighborhood. If that house gets $25 million, well, then you're going to have to talk to your real estate agent and go, what's our house worth?
Right.
And you're rooting for the house across the street to get that because whether that house is nicer or whatever else, of course you want them to get it. And you're not going to pocket watch and get pissed off about it. So I root for Pat. I root for Stephen A. I root for everybody, like I just said, at our shop and all the other ones out there to get every single thing they can.
The fact of the matter is, if ESPN gave Stephen A. Smith $20 million, to me, that's not really an interesting story. If they, if he wants 20 and they won't give it to him and then he has to go leave and go somewhere else, then it's a story. So that's the part of it that I get interested in.
Well, I hope that doesn't, happen.
Because,
I mean, I want him as my teammate and I root for him and he knows that and now everybody else knows that.
And with the money, I mean, now you're going to be sitting next to a guy every week who just got $100 million for a podcast, which is...
I told him, dinner's on you, bro. I'm not going, like, I'm the guy, Jimmy. Like, if you and I ever sit down for a meal, like, you're never getting the bill. All right. I'm that guy. I'm hard headed. There was a time in my life where I couldn't do it. And now I'm paying for a dinner. That's just how it goes. I don't care. Right. Take me to the nicest joint in the city. Dinner's on me. Well, when I sit down with him somewhere, you can get the check.
All yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, listen, and again, I've seen people, scoff at that, but again, get what you can get. And think about a football player, an NFL player, a Hall of Fame player, one of the best offensive linemen ever, who's going to make more money in media than as an NFL player. It's insane.
It is incredible. And when he and I were talking before he decided where he was going to go,
we're talking about Jason Kelce, by the way. If anyone didn't get that, go ahead.
When I was talking to Jason before he made a decision about what he was going to do with TV. I just said, look, man, you're in a place where you can make these next chapters of your life the best chapters of your life. And when you're walking away from a Hall of Fame career, and he had a rare connection to his city. He was sort of the perfect Philadelphia guy, you know? You know, you and Philly's in between you and me. We get Philly. I've always said I love Philly sports fans. They get a bad rap. They're hostile and whatever else, but they're passionate, and he reflected them perfectly. So to say you're going to have a better next act than that, probably hard to fathom. You could argue he already has. I mean, with what they've been able to create in this, it's a confluence of a million different things of who he is, he and his wife, the daughters, his brother, who his brother dates clearly is part of it. It's just an amazing combustible thing that turned into this windfall. So yeah, it's nuts and good for him. I think I don't know him well, but we spent some time together and I'd say this about him. He's an incredibly grounded guy that clearly understands that this rocket ship that they're on is really rare. And I think the appreciation he has for it will ensure that it continues on its trajectory, you know?
So on Monday nights before Joe Buck and Troy Aikman call the game, it'll be Scott with Jason Kelce, Ryan Clark, and Marcus Spears on Monday Night Countdown, and all the other information people and stuff like that, and then halftime and obviously postgame. When ESPN is in the process of trying to get Jason Kelce, do they come to you as the host and say, we may be able to get this guy, should we go get him? Can you help recruit him? Does any of that go on? Or your host and they leave, then the executives
take care
of that?
Yeah. That happened in this case. And it happened... Chris Long is a guy I've known for years. All right.
Yep,
and Chris was his teammate. He does a great job in this space.
Yep.
Just to give him a tip of the cap. Like, I just have such an appreciation for a guy that grew up with a Hall of Fame dad in the sport, carved out his own lane, was a great player, drafted second, made a ton of dough. He could have been good with that, but then he's a thoughtful guy. He's interested in things. Not every athlete's interested in anything outside of their own sphere of existence. And Chris is. So
let me just say one. Go ahead. I just want to say one thing about Chris before you get. So several years ago, when Game of Thrones was in its final season, Chris wrote Game of Thrones recaps for SI.com. And I was his editor, technically. I set up the deal. he filed the column to me. I mean, he was more thoughtful than any writer I've ever dealt with in my life. It was every word. You know, I want everyone to really get the full appreciation of Chris Long. Really unique, special guy. And like you said, he's done a great job with his pod, football, won the Super Bowl, all that. But like just what he did with those Game of Thrones recaps, I was like, that's a special dude right there.
Well, I admire the people that want to be great. They're great at one thing. They want to be great at the next thing. I think, like, I've seen that with Ryan Clark from the very first sort of time that he showed up at ESPN and what he's carved out, an incredible career where he's doing all sorts of things. Chris had that as well. And the reason I'm bringing him up is because as a teammate of Kelsey's, I asked Chris, what's the story on this guy? He seems awesome. And Chris said, essentially, he waited him out all year as a teammate, thinking eventually he'll show his ass here, right? Like, if he's not as good a dude as he seems, then I'll figure it out. And then he said, I stopped trying to figure it out because I realized he's just that good a dude. Yeah. And I said, okay, cool. So I talked to him at the Pro Bowl, Jason, and I said, listen, I myself and said, I'm out here if I can be of any help. I said, wherever you go, we'd love to have you. If you go someplace else, that's fine. Just I can be an asset, I think, if you want. And so it goes for a while. And finally, like, it's getting to the springtime. And I reached out to the people that were involved on our side. And I said, hey, look, I don't want to get in the way of this, but I'm going to reach out to him. And I did. And essentially I said, look, I have too much respect for the process to try to get in the way of it. But I want you to at least hear me say, we'd love to have you at our place. And I didn't know if it was to work on our show specifically, because we had like our group that we had from last year was, I was under the operating under the assumption that that's what was going to be what we had moving forward. I didn't know how him coming. He wasn't coming to take someone's job. It was just, if he could come to ESPN, he'll be great in some role. And so we ended up having this conversation, and I was just trying to paint the picture of what our place is. And I didn't lie to him. I'm like, look, if you come, you're going to work, you know, our place, there's a lot that you can be asked to do. I said, I think you're in a position to say what you'd like to do and what you don't necessarily want to do. But I just tried to be somebody that he could sound it out. And he asked me a ton of questions about what the place was like, what the job was like, what did I think about, like, what I had done. It's just, he was thoughtful, and he was interested. So, and I told him, look, wherever you go, you'll be great, because every network is gonna put you in a spot where you can be great. So go be great, have fun. Yeah. And I was in Italy with my family. It was awesome, Jimmy. I took my mom. Van Pelt is not Italian, but my mom, I'm an Italian kid. My grandpa's an Italian dude from Brooklyn, Yankee fan, okay? So my mom traveled the world. She's been all over. I asked her if you could go anywhere in the world, like, where would you want to go? So me, my mom, my wife, and my kids went to Italy this spring. It was fantastic.
First time you've ever been?
It was. That's possible, I don't know. But we did we hit for the cycle, I suppose. Rome, Florence, Venice. It was incredible. I come back from Italy, and I got a call from Kelsey and that he was coming. And it's like, well, right on. So, I mean, I got involved only to the degree that I felt like I knew something about him from Chris. And if we could get this guy, I felt like wherever he was going to be doing what he was going to do would be a win for ESPN. And I think it will be. And I think he wants to be great. But, you know, now that he's getting all this podcast money, he might just show up like eating, like, you know, turkey legs like a Viking and just be like, kidding. I know he's excited to do it.
That would be good TV. That would go
well. Yeah, maybe.
I have so many. Now I just want to ask you about Italy. Let me just ask you, did you get recognized over there?
I mean, I'm 6'6 and this stunningly handsome, Jimmy. I don't blend in well. A lot of American people there. I mean, it wasn't like Italian. Yeah. It wasn't like the gondolier was like, ciao, SVP. No, that didn't happen. But there, a lot of, and people are always incredibly nice. They just can't figure out, why are you in Florence? I'm like, same reason you are, buddy, right. I presume. Right? We go to the Ponte Vecchio. Like, but there's this, in Florence, there's this the Duomo, there's this giant tower of this church, and somehow I got bamboozled into climbing up. It's God knows 400 and something stairs. It's claustrophobic, and I do not like heights. And I get to the top, and I'm thinking, if I die in here, they're going to have to get my big dead ass out of here. That's going to be a bummer. And I'm leaning against the side of the top of the Duomo, and some guy comes up the steps, literally doesn't break stride, Jimmy, and he goes, SVP, he's like, you all right? I'm like, I'm good, keep going. And he goes up the stairs, climbs up the top, does his bit, and comes out, and he's like, you sure you're good? I'm like, I'm just, it's fine.
It sounds like he could tell you weren't good.
It was. I'm pretty sure, Jimmy, that it was clear that I was not thriving at the top of the Duomo. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't laid out on the ground, but I was probably had a look of I was stricken with whatever the hell it was. But I mean, people were nice, and you know.
So you went in springtime, so it wasn't unbearably hot yet when you went.
No, we kind of try to pick that lane, right? We didn't want to go in July or August when it's just, you know, half the world is running around. I mean, it's like it's crowded. You go to the I started to call it the train of fountain. It's not
Trevi.
Trevi fountain.
You go
to Trevi, you go to the fountain at Trevi. I mean, there's a lot of people. You go to the Vatican, there's a lot of people.
Spanish steps.
Yeah, the whole thing. By the way, there's Otis the dog used to sit there. Now it's Red, and Red's licking
his. I love it.
Yeah. Hey, Red. You're on. Jimmy's looking, bud. So pull yourself together.
He can look. It's okay. Let him be in his environment.
He's good. That's where the dog that I wrote about, and you know, I actually did a pod with John Stewart this summer about talking about losing your dog, which it's sort of the great connector. But it's like literally that's where this dog used to sit. So when he went and sat in that chair for the first time, I talked to him like he's a human, and I'm like, that's not your chair, Red. You know that like, but the guy that used to sit in it, he's dead. He'd probably be okay. Anyway, have fun in the chair. And your dog's just looking at me like, let me know when you're done talking.
I had Herb Sheet on 2 weeks ago and did not ask him about Ben and got.
Oh, man.
Because here's what happened. I'll pull back the curtain here a little bit. Had Herb Sheet on. And right before we started, he said, just an FYI, he's like, I got to be done in 45 minutes. Mm. So I had a bunch. The guy does college and NFL, so there's a lot to cover. Didn't get to Ben, and people were pissed off. So I'm glad we acknowledge your dog, because people would then get pissed off at me for not acknowledging.
There's Red.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let's get back to countdown, and then we'll do a little sports center stuff. You mentioned, so you're on after the NBA finals. You mentioned you were on after the women's tournament, and you're on after the big events. Is there a different rush when you come on, even after a regular season Monday night football game, because it's the NFL, or the NBA finals would still be bigger, or the women's tournament? Is the football different because it's football?
Football is different because you're in the literally in the arena. When you're sitting there, you know, we were in MetLife last year, week one, and obviously the game took a very ominous, as it turned out, turn for the Jets almost immediately. But, oh, by the way, they won that game in overtime on a punt return, right? So, I mean, you're sitting there and the show begins and you're on the field. Like, there's nothing that, I mean, that's you know, right into your vein kind of a thing.
Right.
So that's very different. But when you come on after, like, for instance, we came on after Iowa-UConn, the women's tournament, and as it turned, I think that might have been the biggest audience that we've ever had. And you know that it's a huge event, and there was a controversial call, and I was like, that, and I never do this, but I'm like, I hate that call was made. I thought it was a bad call in real time. I was wrong. The correct call of a moving screen on UConn was made. I got it wrong. Iowa people are still pissed at me about that I was
right,
because they turned it into me taking away that Iowa should have won, which wasn't what I said. I thought it was a bad call. It wasn't. Diana Taurasi came on with me that night, and I said, are you going to do that thing where you're mad at the next? And then she said, reality's coming. And I'm laughing and clapping because I'm like, you always do this. This is what people always do. That little clip has turned into Iowa people just, you idiot, clapping, and you owe her an apology. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Michael Jordan said to Kobe Bryant, you can wear the shoes, but you can't fill them. He said that to Kobe after Kobe had won an NBA title and was an NBA All-Star. This is what people tend to do. Stars tend to talk crap to the next wave. And I laughed at that. And by the way, Caitlin Clark was awesome at Iowa, is awesome in the WNBA, and hasn't lost to Diana Taurasi. So she's getting all of the last laughs. But all of what I'm saying to you is these moments are still resonating because they came out of what was this mammoth audience following a huge event. So it honestly, Jimmy, doesn't matter to me what it is. The adrenaline is when it's a big, and that was a huge night.
Yeah.
Ohio State, Georgia a couple of years ago in the playoff, Ohio State misses a kick. It's New Year's Eve. I come on with Herb Street and Fowler, and like, you truly feel like you are on I talked about a rocket ship. It feels different than anything. And it's hard to describe that. Like your leg, like I'm a leg tapper guy. Like I know my leg is going a million miles an hour just because your body has to let go of that energy somehow. Otherwise you'd just be like you know what I mean?
Yep.
So anyway, I the football's different, but any big event has as Russo would say, it's got the juice. Got the juice, Jimmy.
Well, it's interesting you mention the football being different because you're on location week two. Now you have Jason Kelce on the set.
Here
you're
going to
be in Philly week two. Where are you going to do that? Where are you doing that from?
Inside, outside. I think we're just going to go where the people like take us. There's going to be a set outside. We had a conversation with a writer from Philly last week when we were up at on campus, and I said, if we get out alive, I'll consider it a win. I said, and if we don't, then we will have gone out in glory, right?
Yes.
You know, the Eagle fans with their love for their guy. But we plan to have a set outside in the parking lot. I don't know how that's going to go. The logistics of moving from one place to another, as you know, as Boomer always would say, we'll figure it out, and we'll figure it out. But
they should have Jason tailgate with people, and
I think he may.
Show. Yeah,
I think he may. I mean, he's like last year when he got caught on camera up in the box, he's shown that he'll enjoy a cold beer or two.
Yes, absolutely.
I think he's gonna. I think that's part of the plan. It for me and for us, it's whatever his appetite is for that is what we'll do. I think they love him so much, you know, that you have to almost be careful, right? Because like he could get hold into the crowd and then we lose them for the hour. You know what I mean? So it's a little bit of TBD, but he's looking forward to it. I'm sincerely interested though, honestly, Jimmy, in the, what is it? What is it you feel being back outside a stadium as these dudes that you rode with for all these years are getting ready to go play and you're not? I'm sure there will be, it's a mixed emotions. It'll be bittersweet, yeah. But we'll find out about all that.
So that's week two in Philly for Monday Night Countdown. And then obviously the Sports Center, which we talked about a little bit earlier. I was shocked when I read you're starting your 10th season as the solo host of your own edition of Sports Center. That,
yeah,
I would have guessed 4 or 5 years, 10 years.
You and me both, man. I mean, I go back in time to when it was John Skipper and John Wildhack at the time and the respective roles that, you know, Burke and Jimmy Pitaro are in now. I guess Mike McQuaid is, I don't know, the reorg, whatever it is. Those were the guys that were either wise enough or foolish enough to say to me, here's this lane, go do your thing. But yeah, I think, I mean, I'm proud of what we've done, man. Like, I'm proud that, you know, it's easy to say, and I get it, that in 2024, hell, in 2015, do you need to watch SportsCenter like you did with Dan and Keith? No, it's different. It's not the same, man. We all understand that, but people still do. And so it's a little bit about just sort of hanging with the people that you know and have a relationship with. And that's really what I think I've learned, Jimmy, in this time. Shit, I've been here like almost 25 years. My God, it's been a long time. And so people know you. And I think you and me talking right now, this is how I talk on the show. Like, I don't edit myself other than trying not to cuss. Although I got to figure out, like, McAfee's created that lane like a mile. I always joke if we're on ESPN2, I can cuss. I don't know, like,
Nick Saban apparently too.
Okay, if it's good enough for my guy Pat and Jim, Pat and Nick, then I'm just gonna start cussing my ass off.
Don't you feel like it's all so, like, if you, it's so silly? Like, if you went on SportsCenter one night and you said that's bullshit, what would really happen? What would happen exactly? Like, it's so silly.
Yeah. Of course it is. And this is why, like, on podcasts, like, I'm not profane. I don't, it's right. Not Richard Pryor live on the Sunset. Okay. But every now and then,
right.
If something's bullshit, it's bullshit.
Right.
And if
right.
You're like, and like on the pod, and I don't know how this works because they don't bleep that. But if I say the F word, it'll get bleeped. But right. When me and Jon Stewart did ours, it didn't get, I don't know what happened. And I'm not going to die on the hill to be like, you know, I should really be allowed to say fuck on TV.
Right.
I actually did once. It was an accident. But
when? Tell me, I need this story.
Oh, this is actually a good one. So I had this horrible cold.
I have one now. That's why you hear all these gross sounds. I just apologize.
I thought you just were like a bulldog. You just have a.
I have to cough so bad and loud right now. You have no idea. And I'm trying to hold
it. Go ahead, Jimmy. No one cares. Let it rip.
All right, go ahead.
Jimmy Train, I lost his spleen just a second ago. So I'm on with Steve Levy, and I had this horrible cold, and SportsCenter's had all these different sort of incarnations of how we did things. And there was a time when, like, the bumps are very important. You got to keep people watching. I'll buy that. Well, for a while, we were doing triple bumps, and there's a famous story about Charlie Steiner many years ago with a double bump saying in a break, why are we doing double bumps? Well, we're doing triple bumps. And I have this cold and I can't really breathe. And it's like coming up A and B and C and we'll be back. And I think we're in break. And I say to Levy, I'm like, fuck, I thought I was going to pass out. And then I see the screen like go to black. And there's a pause that I say to our director, We were still on TV then, weren't we? And he goes, yeah, we were. And I said, okay. So we come back, and then it's like, well, you have to apologize. And so I say, and I don't think they were thrilled with my apology. I said, so I have to apologize because I said the F word because I thought we were in break, but we weren't. And so I'm sorry. Like, it's cable TV.
Right.
I mean, I guess... No, you know, I don't get it. There's no reason to apologize for language. But all of this is part goes back to what you asked me about the beginning and about the 10 years. And I just feel like what we have done is created a thing where our viewers know what it is. I think the guests, whether they be coaches or players, are familiar with the show. They've either been guests or I've been here long enough. I don't want this to sound tacky. but like they're familiar with me and the show. So they're not meeting a stranger, even if we've never talked, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
And I think that our conversation is going to be a comfortable one. Like, I mean, when you're the first time that I talked to Caitlin Clark, like they just beat LSU and they're going to the Final Four. Like, you're not in a position, you're not going to ask questions where you're putting someone on the spot in a negative way. Like, you're right. Only talking to people in moments of happiness and high achievement. They're fun right. conversations. It's a blast to do. So I think all of what we've been able to do in these 10 years is that be a comfortable place with someone, you know, to hang out after you've watched these big events. And if we can keep you to watch for a little bit longer and we bump bad beats and now you got to hang out for 5 more minutes, maybe you're cursing me, but you're not leaving until you see Central Arkansas, Arkansas State, because you got to see that calamity.
I was going to bring up the media day that ESPN had last week in Bristol. You mentioned it.
Uh-huh.
And for people who don't know, last week ESPN had people who cover media up in Bristol to meet with ESPN executives, ESPN talent. Scott was there, a bunch of other people that we'll get into. And there was panels and Q&As. And I have to tell you, I didn't think it was the place to sort of push the envelope, but I was dying to say, why can't you people get your shit together and promote bad beats properly? Stanford Steve does a great job. He tweets it every week, but like there yep. should be a Bad Beats Twitter account. It should be on YouTube. Make it convenient for me, because still to this day, like I've done for like 4 or 5 years, every single week I post that clip in my column and will continue to do so. And I want more appreciation for Bad Beats. That's all I have to say. And I was going to bring that up, but I said, you know what? I'm not going to, there was enough fireworks, which we could discuss. So I left that alone.
From your lips to God's ears, Jimmy. I will say that I had a frustration that for years that I felt like we were creating the content and it was clear that there was an appetite for the content. And I didn't think that we got the kind of sort of push in social media that other shows did. And that baffled me. Like, in the city, when there's like that place that makes muffins or whatever in Soho or the Village, and it becomes the hot spot or cookies. And then there's like a line around the corner, but it's only open late at night. Well, I said this to the powers that be. I'm like, well, we're that store. But my guess is if people like the cookies at midnight, if you took the cookies and put them in a package and you sold them during the day, people would eat them. You just have to put it in a package and give it to them. We've done the hard part. We've created the cookie that people like to eat. Give them the fucking cookie.
Right.
And so this spring in particular, there was a much larger sort of push for that, and which I appreciated, because I felt like whether it was interviews with people post-game that, because look, I get it. We're on late. So people got to work if you're on the East Coast, you know, like we're in the sweet spot on the West Coast and we do well out there. But I understand at some point you got to go to bed. And so there's been a larger push for that, to send things out. I get that in the world of social media that you're going to do better with clicks on things that aren't 9 minutes long. Like there's right, algorithms right. for all that. Yeah, and they've explained it to me. And yeah. I gotta understand what I don't understand, which is that. But I do think that we could do a better job of taking the stuff that we create that we know people love, particularly Bad Beats, and just give it to them. I mean this sincerely. I thank you, sincerely for what you do. Cause I know, I mean, you're a mensch for that, but there's people love that, that content. So Steve sends it out, you send it out, and, people find it, you know.
I think even if you don't bet, you will be entertained exactly. by that segment. That's exactly. the point. Is it, now listen, with any segment, it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, you could take Carpool Karaoke or Kimmel with Mean Tweets, sports, you know, Kyle Brandt does Angry Runs, you do Bad Beats. When you do them for a little bit, is it a challenge to keep them entertaining, or because it's gambling, and every gambler could relate, that never gets old, unfortunately. And it's easy to do. What is it, a challenge or it's easy to do every week?
Couldn't be easier to do. Doing bad beats is like being a toll booth collector. You just sit there and wait, and they come to you. And what we've created out there with social media is when some poor bastard loses an eight leg of a parlay on right. some unspeakably horrible thing, they tell you. So we have people coming to us with the content. Now we're aware of the space, you know, so we have kind of a running tab of what goes on. Is every edition a Hall of Fame edition? No. I mean, but the thing that I think that Steve and I are able to do is sincerely reflect how you feel in that moment. Yes. to have been wronged in that way. And 10 years later, we just did a bunch of stuff on Monday night that were these kind of off the grid moments, one of which I think we're going to need to revisit tonight because Arkansas State beat Central Arkansas on this touchdown, which made the total go over. Well, in real time, Steve and I are saying, there's no way that's a touchdown. Well, I think it's a Sun Belt, took a look at it and go, yeah, that wasn't a touchdown. So after the fact, they say, wow.
Yeah.
That shouldn't have counted. So you're some poor schlub with the under, and you're holding your ticket. You're going, how's that help me? Yeah. Well, it doesn't, which is why they're called bad beats. But no, it couldn't be easier. But I'm glad you mentioned like carpool karaoke, angry runs, mean tweets, things like that. Ultimately, do people sit and watch an entire 60 minutes of our show the way? Probably not. You know, some do, but not everyone. But those segments that can connect to people, which is why the social media part is so important. If they can find it somewhere, then they know what it is. And then they know who you are, and it keeps you kind of going in a way. Yeah. And I think we didn't set out for it to become that, but undoubtedly over the time we've done it, it has.
Yeah. I had one last week, but it was a live bet. I was watching, first of all, what a pathetic sentence I'm about to utter. I was watching Rutgers Howard. It was the first game. It was like 6 o'clock on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
And I live bet Howard plus 32. Rutgers is up by 30. And calling timeouts and running plays up until the last play of the game.
They scored a touchdown on the last play of the game. Yeah. We showed it in bad beats.
Calling timeouts to run plays.
They could have taken knees. They chose not to. The Howard coach wasn't pleased with Coach Shiano.
Right, exactly.
I'll just say this. You have my sympathy, Jimmy, but we can't get involved in like people's lives.
Right.
That's where we draw the line
100%.
On bad beats. It's got to be sort of, we'll take a total, the first half total, that's fine. Yeah. Or game, or you know what it is. You're a gamer.
I understand. But, yeah.
But you hit the nail on the head, and this is what I told John Wildhack a decade ago. You don't have to gamble for this to be entertaining. In fact, for the people that would initially were like, well, you're glorifying gambling. I said, are we?
Yeah.
I've said this line 100 times. That's like saying that train spotting glorifies heroin use. It makes you not want to do it.
Yes.
I promise. It's not going to tell some kid out there, hey, you know what? I'm going to do that Sun Belt total. Yeah. That looks like it's easy.
You should put a thing on Twitter. Say, has anyone started sports betting because of me? See if anyone votes yes. You never know.
I mean, since it's Twitter, I'm sure someone will blame.
Oh, that's
you
know, true. That is
blame
true.
Me for their life going off the rails.
That is true. Speaking of going off the rails, so at that media day in Bristol last week, it was written about in the blogosphere where Pat McAfee was, I would say, confrontational with some of the media there who have covered him, and he felt like he was getting unfair coverage. And then it spun into this thing about journalism. I guess the root of the issue is people want Pat to push back on Aaron Rodgers during his interviews. I don't know why anyone thinks Pat is, you know, Mike Bradley. But that's where we are with this. So let me start with this. What did you make of the whole confrontation at Media Day? Because you were sitting two or three seats away from Pat. I believe the panel was Stephen A., and then it was you, and then it was L. Duncan, Mike Greenberg, and McAfee. So you were on the stage, and McAfee gets heated, and there's a back and forth. And what are you thinking in that moment?
I think that, Pat, we talked, we'd never met in person. And so we spoke prior to, and I think Pat was just, he was curious about what was, like, what's this going to be like? And I said, I don't know. You know, I mean, it's, chance for people to ask us questions. It's a chance for us to talk about what we're doing, and we'll see. And so I think the thing about Pat and his show is it reminds me a lot of what me and Russillo and I had back in the day on radio in this sense. It's that was Ryan, myself, Stanford Steve, right? And then there were guys like Cerruti, who is with The Ringer now doing stuff and working with Ryan. Outsider Mike became a guy on the that people knew who was doing stuff on the boards. Phil the Show Killer was known by anybody on ESPN Radio long before we started doing radio with him. Our producer, Ray. What I mean is it was a group of guys and we had and gals that were part of our show. It was a show unit and we were. We weren't an outlaw show, but we clearly weren't the show that the execs got. They never understood what we were. But we knew that the people out there got us. And so we didn't give a shit if the suits got us or not. We were going to do our show. And still to this day, there are people that have like nostalgia for that show. So I relate to the idea of it's us against the powers that be. And I understand how that part of it and Pat is, it is Pat's show and it's run on our network. So that's an interesting difference than a show that is on ESPN. And Pat clearly wants you, not you, Jimmy, but you out there to understand that this is our show. They just run it on ESPN. And so the question was about journalistic standards. And so, to ask Pat and their show to do the same show that Bob Lee would do on Outside the Lines is that's not what it is. But Bob doing Outside the Lines, and Bob's one of the all time greats and a dear friend who I admire and appreciate. But like Bob knows that my version of SportsCenter is not the one that he did. For Christ's sake, Jimmy, we're a sports book. Okay. ESPN's a book.
Right.
The world's different. I'll say this. I understood the question because they're asking, like, should you be doing that? But I understand Pat's reaction because he's like, look, man, we do our show. They run it on ESPN. And I just want to make this clear. Like, Pat's my teammate and I got his back and I appreciate him and his guys and how they do what they do. Expecting the same type of sort of, act or approach, I should say, to an interview from that show as you would from Jeremy Schapp or something. Like, I just think it's not the same. They're not the same. And I think what you saw in the group that was up there is us saying, like, it's sort of a bit of a buffet, what we've got, right? In the morning, you got Stephen A, who follows Greeny, who goes into Pat, and that's a big part of what TV has become, daytime TV. And then you got me, and late at night, Elle and Kevin Negandhi primarily before the games, we're there afterwards. I think it was a way for us to say, here's the buffet. This is what we got. And the beauty of the buffet, I suppose, is you don't have to get any, if that's not for you, go to the next thing in buffet. You know, does that make sense? And it's not all the same. That's the other part of a buffet. Is there something that's different for everybody? So, I don't know Pat well enough to speak for him, nor what he's a grown man who clearly speaks for himself. But I'm pretty sure that he's going to do his show the way he and his guys want to do their show for as long as they do their show, and they're not going to be sort of pushed in a direction to do something that they don't want to do. And I think he is also clear about it being reflective about stuff that he thinks he gets wrong, and he said as much. Right. You know, I talked to him afterwards just about in general. I can remember vividly being a guy in my early 40s with Russillo and wanting to fight the world.
Right.
And at some point, that energy is wasted because ultimately, you know what you are doing and you're going to do it the way you want to do it. I think as long as people are fair, you know, his point, and he said it that day, he just doesn't want you got, he doesn't want the way he's covered to impact right. someone who hasn't seen him from giving his show a chance. Right. So I don't know, man, he's my teammate. And I got his back.
How was he after that? You said you spoke to him after. Was he calm or was he heated?
Well, he wasn't heated. Like, okay. It was fine. Yeah. He's a guy who's going to defend his show and his guys and how they do things. And he did, but like, he didn't,
right.
We're friendly here, but like, I don't want you painting some picture that he was out.
No. Well, no, it was aggressive. I would say confrontational.
I mean, it was clear.
He wasn't screaming and yelling and he wasn't cursing at people, but he was aggravated, I would say, with
the journalistic standards.
Right.
And I mean, look, the next day on the show, they clearly referenced that. So it would be fair based on what they did the next day to say that was the question that he was responding to.
What I found most interesting was that Pat, when he started to speak, what he was upset about in the beginning and what he said was about the coverage when the deal was made on how people thought he had left to go to ESPN and was hired by ESPN and it was, no, they're licensing the show. So even like a technical, you know, so there was a lot of stuff going on. Now,
go ahead.
No, you go. Because I was going to ask you something.
Well, I think he can create and he alluded to the fact that they created this fan base, that they were an outlaw show. They were their own guys. And then when you come under the ESPN umbrella, then you're going to have to deal with all your people calling you. Well, I mean, I believe he has it on his social media, like sellout. That's Pittsburgh. Sellout.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's what you're going to get called by your people when you go under this. But listen, it's beneficial to be on this platform because there is no platform like it in media. And it just as it's beneficial for ESPN to have all those eyeballs and all those passionate fans of Pat and his guys. Yeah. So hopefully that is seen as beneficial from their side for as long as they, you know, want to do it. We can be teammates, you know, I mean, but I think he's dealing with it from all sides.
Right.
You got your own people that are like, you're a sellout. And he's like, hold on. We're still us. And I think if anything in a year, Jimmy, they've demonstrated they're still them. And again, is that going to be for everybody that has a certain idea of the way shows are supposed to go? Maybe not, but it's really simple. If it's not for you, then you don't watch it.
Right.
It's just,
100%. I tell people that every single day. Yeah, exactly. Now the McAfee thing sort of took away from what I thought was the most interesting thing about that panel up until that point was when Stephen A. was asked the question about FS1 and laid it out methodically about how he never considered FS1 competition. And if you look at the ratings, I think he said in 1,600 shows, FS1 came within half of Stephen A's viewership twice. And you piggyback and you had some comments about FS1 too. And now, just for my purposes, I never, if you go look through my archives for the last, when did I come back? 7 years, you won't find any articles about FS1 because I never wrote about them for that reason. Now listen, they've made all these changes in the last week. So I'm talking about before all these changes were made, I didn't consider them really a real network. So like I didn't write about them. And I think a lot of their hosts were awful. So I never wrote about them ever. So I tried to explain to Stephen, hey, I didn't write about it for that reason. But having said that, you chimed in and said, they said they were coming after us and look what happened. I was surprised you even threw in on that with Stephen A on sort of the competition that wasn't a competition.
Why? They put a billboard up in our neighborhood. They were the one for fun, Jimmy. You remember? That's what they touted themselves as.
Right. Yes, I do remember. Yes.
The one for fun. And apparently we weren't fun, I guess. And they put a billboard up in our neighborhood. Like, to me, you're making your intentions quite clear. Like, you're not, you're starting a fight. And I want to be clear, just as Stephen was. Stephen was, didn't raise his voice.
Nope.
It was, all it was reciting facts. There's facts and opinions.
But he did that thing that parents do when your parents scold you and doesn't yell, and it's worse than when they yell.
Well, it was a pretty brutal accounting of the facts. Yeah,
yes, yes.
And so, but that is a man he cares about, who's a friend. And I have friends that work at Fox too. And just as I said in the beginning, I want to make this clear. I root for all the people in this business that are friends of mine. But somebody with that network thought that it would be a good idea to put a billboard up and let everyone know that they were coming for us. And as Stephen A. said, they've never arrived. And all I said, Jimmy, again, because this is a fact, not an opinion, is that for all the people out there that cover media that were breathlessly reporting day-by-day comparisons of what their nightly studio show did head-to-head with SportsCenter, well, they don't do that anymore because Fox Sports One doesn't do that anymore because they quit doing shows at night. Again, that's a fact. They don't do studio shows at night. How are you going to start a fight and say you're coming for us and then not even just quit? And I felt like in the same way that people tried to position Stephen A's first take and Undisputed as a battle, well, it wasn't a battle. Right. It wasn't close. And so the only reason I mention it is because they said that. They're the ones that said they were coming for us. They're going to turn our water off. And so to whoever thought that that was a good idea, and it's not the on-air people, but somebody out there thought they should poke the bear. In the immortal words of Cat Williams, well, you shouldn't have been talking shit then.
Right. You know, so
they're the ones that start. And I just get sick of it. I get sick of it because all anyone does out there that talks about media or social media is take shots at us and talk about us and rip us and whatever else. And like when we're sitting there that day and it's Pat and Greeny and L, myself and Stephen A, like, okay, this is our five that we've got. Well, get your five. All right. We'll play you. I mean,
they don't have like, a team. They don't even have a team. It's not real. It's not.
And who does? But right. So who does? And by the way, we're not like the only five. We got a bench. We got people, right. Man. And we work hard. And mostly, I don't say anything to anybody about anything because I root for everybody. But in that one particular thing,
the only thing I would say, the fight.
Right. They started a fight. They're the ones. We didn't say shit about anything. They did. And right. So
I agree with that. But the only thing I would say is a pushback to defend sort of me and people who do what I do is I mean, I think there are one or two people out there who maybe have written about that, like FS1 as if it's a real thing. I don't know if most like, you know, what Richard Deitch used to do with the ratings on Twitter, mocking awful shows on FS1. Like, I don't know if there was a collective from those of us who cover this, like, oh, FS1 is on the heels of ESPN. I don't know about that.
It's you got to Google, opinion. Jimmy. You
gotta yeah, Google. I'll Google.
Like,
all right.
I mean, and it's not difficult to do. Look, and here's the thing. I'm not coming after you guys for doing it. Of course, you should cover it. Like, if it competition's great for everybody, and they have talented people who work there. All right. I think Nick Wright's a superstar. Like, he's really good at what he does. Cowherd is a titan in the business. He'll be the next guy to get $80 zillion, and then he can just go ski and go to the beach and do whatever he wants to do. So my beef was never specific to anybody. It was just to that perceived fight. All I'm saying is, in the end, that one specific fight between those morning shows, right. Stephen A. was able to say, "Well, actually, like it wasn't like the fight just ended. It was never a fight because it wasn't."
I wish there was video of Stephen A. Saying what he said, because it was pretty great the way he did it. I didn't realize we have gone so long. So I'm going to ask you just some light, fun ones, very rapid fire. So the quicker you answer, the quicker you can stop being tortured by me here.
I'm not tortured.
What was it like to be in an Eminem song?
I had no idea. Someone.
How did you? Yeah, I was going to say, how did you find out you were in an Eminem song?
I was at the beach and I came back to my house to go to the bathroom or something. And I looked at my phone and somebody said, Eminem. And I'm like, and? And then I look at Twitter and it's just all these Eminem things. And then, so then I hear it and it's like, oh, that's kind of, I mean, this is a legend in the rap game and my name rhymed with something. So, I mean, I believe the line was heavyweight, shout to Scott Van Pelt. I'm like, so, all right. So if I'm a heavyweight, Eminem, right back at you, Eminem. Appreciate
how
it.
How impressed were friends and family?
I think, I didn't tell my mom. I don't know if she knows about, man. And she,
Slim Shady.
Pour one out for the death of Slim Shady. No. Yeah. I mean, people just, I mean, whatever. I'm lucky. There's a lot of goofy stuff that happens in my life. That's just sort of, but that, as a hip hop and rap fan, that was, that made me laugh. I'm surprised anyone beat Action Bronson. I'm very upset that my man Bronsolino didn't put me in a song first, but I'm sure he can figure that out.
I think you'd take it from Eminem. And
I understand. But I just, Action Bronson is the guy that I've gotten to know. He's very massive Knicks fan. And, we correspond. We would do action reports on the Knicks. I would get his thoughts on games.
This is a weird one. So if it's too weird. All right. So all this stuff happens, but inside the NBA, it's going to be over after next year. And everyone's saying ESPN should hire the whole crew. ESPN should hire the whole crew. Now, if ESPN hired the whole crew, which is not going to happen anyway, because Ernie already said he's staying. But let's say they did. Then what happens? Like, you're the post-game show after the finals. When you see that, do you think to yourself, I'm the post-game show and all these people want them to hire the inside the NBA crew? Or do you think they would be good for ESPN? Or do you not even give it any thought at all?
If inside the NBA
could come
to ESPN and do the pre and post, I would step up from my chair, I would push back and I'd say, Ernie, Chuck, Shaq, Kenny, I mean, that's as great a show as has ever been done on television. And I really never even thought of it from that perspective because it's their show is I always think of them as the pre and halftime, but where they're the best is in the post game. I mean, like Galveston came up post game when Charles started talking about like Galveston, the magic happens in the late night hours. So, I mean, look, if it means that I don't get to do post, then see you later. By the way, that's fewer late nights for me. So that's a win. Yeah, it's a win for the world because it means that show's on our air.
That's true.
We have fun doing it, but that show, come on, forget it.
Yeah,
no problem
with
that.
You're doing a podcast with Stanford Steve, SVP Pod. Can you? I don't know. Maybe this is just me, and maybe you're not. You're probably not nearly on Twitter as much as I am, which you know. But I'm blown away by how many new pods keep starting every single day. Mm-hmm. Your approach with the pod, is it, if people listen, fine. I have my fans. I have people listen to me on radio. Are you like aggressive in trying to get new listeners? Like this podcast game right now, I mean, we talked about your new partner, Jason Kelsey, 100 million. I feel like everything about the podcast game right now is so fucked up. Like I just don't understand it, even though I do one. What's your approach with the podcast?
It's an interesting question. I look at it as something else I do that I enjoy doing. And I think if there's a way, I mean, I have like the thing I did with Jon Stewart is something that I'm interested in, exploring. And here's what I mean. Like, okay. So on SportsCenter, we have that one segment that we do. It's like a long form essay, one big thing. And what I want to do is have episodes where it's just me and a guest. And it's the idea is one big thing where it is literally all John and I did was talk about our dogs that we lost and the reaction from people. And there are guests that I want to do one topic with. Like I put this out into the universe. I want to talk to Josh Groban at the holiday about Oh Holy Night. That's a song he sang, and there's so many versions of it that I think are incredible. I want to know, as a singer, how do you approach it? Like, these are the fucked up things I think about in my head. I think, well, that's something right. I'd be interested in talking about. And maybe if they, so that I want to do things like that.
Yeah.
Steve and I are going to do during the football season, like we're going to do a nightly recap on Saturday nights for Sunday mornings. Cause there are some people out there that do good ones, but it's just not flooded the way the Sunday space is.
Yeah.
Like everyone's going to do their reactions to Sunday. But you asked me, like, what's my approach? I'd love to create a lane so that at some point, inevitably, when I'm not lying to you and I say I'm not going to do the show anymore, that there's a place to sit down and talk about stuff, because right. I enjoy that. I'm talking to you because I enjoy the conversation. So I have no idea how many people listen to it. I don't give a fuck where it is in the rankings. It doesn't matter. And I guess it's because I have these other things that I do.
Right.
That if this were the singular thing I did, I suppose every bit of my energy would be, got to get great guests, got to do this, got to promote relentlessly. But at the moment, it's part of what I do. And I am glad that I get to do it. The Omaha production people have been incredible. They've put a ton of effort into getting me situated to be able to do it in my house. That's going to help a lot. So I look forward to building it. And that's the real answer. Just building it to what? I don't know. Like, is it a little cottage, or do you try to build it into some monstrosity? That part I don't know yet.
Got it. All right, last one. Actually, before the last one, when I referenced McAfee being a journalist, I said Mike Bradley and totally screwed up the reference. It's supposed to be Mike Wallace. Just an embarrassing mix-up on my part. All right.
I just let it go.
I know. You should have corrected me. I wish you would have.
Maybe he's some guy from Trenton. That's true.
You should have corrected me. Mike Wallace. All right, last one. Give me a week one NFL winner.
Against the team that was on Hard Knocks. So that's Tennessee against the Bears, right?
I like that. All right. Take the points.
Everybody watches. Listen, you know me. I'm an underdog guy.
You love the points. You love the points.
Always have. Although I got my winner's card right here. And this is the winner's card. It went 2-4. So the problem is
it's week one. It's week one.
Yeah, but at the bottom, I always list the teams that I almost took.
Oh.
At the bottom.
Why do you do that to yourself? Why do you do that to yourself?
Florida Atlantic, winner. Maryland, winner. Vanderbilt, winner. Nebraska, winner. Boston College, winner. That's 1, 2, 3. That's 5-0 on the picks I didn't give on the air.
Oh, the self-loathing and the self-hatred with doing that is off the charts. Off the charts.
You're a gambler. You know, you understand the psychosis of all this. Come on. Like, oh, you just torture yourself. 5-0.
I agree. Do you play season totals, like team totals for over-unders in the NFL?
I've never had the patience for that. Like, Stanford Steve and I talk about this all the time. I compared it to this. I always have said that, Jimmy, if you deal me two cards, I add them up and decide if I want to hit it or not in blackjack. I don't say, can I flop? Did I flop the nuts or whatever? I'm not a poker guy, obviously. I don't understand.
Me either.
The semantics. Season totals are the same thing. Like, whatever your unit size is, I don't care if it's $25 or $2,500. I just don't have the patience to put that down and wait for 3 months to see, like, if somebody wins six.
I get that totally.
More than 6.5 or not. As an aside, our boy Stanford Steve bet over on the White Sox this year.
No, he did not.
He did.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's not getting there. Jimmy, they're 4-38 since the All-Star break.
Is there audio or video of him before the season explaining that bet?
No, I think
if he would have been on a show saying why he bet the White Sox over, I would love to watch that video today.
I've asked him about it, and I'm paraphrasing what I remember him saying. I think that his belief was it was 56 or something. He was like, how could they not win that many? Speaking of self-loathing, he went through it the other day, and I think they've blown as many saves as they have wins. So his thing was, if they just got like half of those, we'd be fine. They didn't. So that's
all-timer.
That's why you don't bet season totals, because you got to sit there for 162 games and watch the White Sox, see if they can eke one out. And then they, no, they just,
well,
no.
He was done early, at least. So I like to lose early. I don't want to be strung along. That's how I
agree. That's why winners was not bad. I got blown out. I was not in some games. I'd rather lose like that than be on bad beats, you know?
I got it. All right. I appreciate this greatly. SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. Usually 11 o'clock, but I hate to give the time of your SportsCenter because there's games.
Moving target. We're on, like, when we follow the U.S. Open, it could be one night after Alcaraz when we came on. That was the latest ever. It was a five-setter with Alcaraz. The start of the show was 2:56 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
Now, we had taped everything but what they call the hi, hello, where you come on set the table. So we were able to do that, went to tape, and then we went home. But that was...
256. That's a late one.
Are you a tennis guy at all?
I get into the U.S. Open a lot. I've watched it every single day. I get into the U.S. Open.
Have you been there?
Not this year, but I've been there in the past.
I had never been. Like, this year's been a big year for me, checking things off. Like, how have I never been to Italy? I went there. Yeah. I just went to Paris with my wife. Not that it's not international travel is not the same as a sporting event, but I've always been enthralled by the idea of what that is, the U.S. Open in the city. And then Arthur Ashe Stadium is incredible. It's 25,000 people, man. Yep. And it's not like Madison Square Garden where you got 10 people on the floor, man. It's two dudes or two women, and that's it. And you are there center stage. What an incredible, incredible setting. I'm so glad I went because it's like, it's like you have an appreciation for something from afar, but then you see it, and then you have a totally different understanding. So anyway,
Did you get that drink, the like $25 drink with the honeydew or something?
Grey Goose honeydews, I think. Yeah, something. My guy Tiafoe was talking about that with me after he came on with us. I was working, Jimmy, so no, I did the Russo. I took a couple edibles and I kept it moving.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. He knows what he's doing with that.
Yeah. Keep it nice and smooth, baby.
Yeah. All right. So SportsCenter at night, post 11 o'clock and beyond. And then obviously now, starting Monday, Jets Niners, Monday Night Countdown, Jason Kelce, a new edition with Ryan Clark and Marcus Spear. So we look forward to that. And of course, Bad Beats and the SVP Pod.
Very important.
But it's all about Bad Beats.
Always is.
In my world.
Avoid them.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.
Right. Good to be with you, Jimmy.
Thank you. All right. Joining me now, as he does every week for our weekly Train of Thought segment from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV in New York, my buddy Sal Licata. Sal, how's it going?
Great. Tis the season. We're here.
Let's come out hot. Let's just get it right out of the way, right off the bat.
Yes.
Sunday. Will you be able to be locked in 1 p.m. Eastern, or will you have daddy duty, husband duty? What do we got?
No, I'll be locked in. Now, the one thing is I was explaining this to my wife in a good way, and then she alerted me of a potential, you know, situation. Well, I was like, because you've seen the setup, it's now upstairs, where last year it would be downstairs, kind of left alone, go watch the games. And I was saying the good thing is now, like, I'm right here. I'm here to the kitchen, and, you know, I'm up here. There's no more, like, separation. And then she goes, yeah, but Samira, our daughter, is going to come bother you. And I was like, oh, yeah, I didn't think about that potential problem there. But, no, I'll be locked in. Okay. If Demi wants to come watch football with Daddy, that's fine. The games will be on. No duties, no issues, no nothing. That's it.
No errands, no hanging out with the neighbors.
No, whatever's got to get done Sunday morning is going to be done before 12. My rule is I want to be home no later than 12:30, and even that's pushing it. 12 o'clock. I remember one time I was living in the city with an ex, and we went food shopping on a Sunday morning, and all I told her was, as long as we're back by 12:30, I'm all right. You want to go to brunch, you want to go food shopping, that's fine. As long as we're back by 12:30, that's fine. We took a car, which is stupid in the city, without any parking, and we can't find a damn spot. And I remember circling and I was getting mad at 12:45. I missed kickoff. It was a whole thing. We broke up eventually, but it's just, you got to be in the seat in the house by 12:30.
My fear is I got to make sure everything works with the Sunday ticket. That's why I need to be set up early.
Opening week, much like the teams trying to figure out who they are in the first few weeks of the season. I won't invite anybody over. Like, right. I need to make sure the setup is clean and crisp and good to go. No issues. Test it out for a couple weeks before I start inviting people over.
Exactly. All right. Have you... Okay, let's start with this. Will you be betting week one?
Probably.
Have you looked at the lines for week one?
I only did because I knew I was doing this pod with you, so I looked quickly. I will before Friday as we do picks on the show, but I have looked, yes.
Did anything jump out at you?
I have three games that I wrote down.
I have three games that jump out at me. And I don't like to bet a lot week one. I am a big believer in lay low week one. So no. I had a lot of trouble, but I found three. So you, give me your three first.
I like the Packers on Friday night plus 2.5. I like
the Eagles in Brazil. Peacock only. Peacock only.
I didn't even realize that. I don't think I have Peacock. Oh. I forgot.
We know someone will be signing up.
Shit. I forgot about that. I will be because I want to watch that game, obviously. And meanwhile, like months ago, I'm like, I'm not watching that Eagles-Packers game. Now I can't get enough of
it. Your Friday night has been cleared.
Yeah, right. Giants, I was surprised that they're getting points. Yep. Two things, real quick about the Packers. I'm down on the Eagles this year. I don't think they're going to be as good as everybody says, so that's why I'm picking the Packers. Right. Giants, I think, are going to be okay. And if I think they're going to be okay, they have to beat Minnesota at home week one, right. So I'll take them plus 1.5. The other game and team that I'm high on this year, maybe irrationally so, is Denver. And I like Denver getting sticked on the road against Seattle. No Pete Carroll. I like what Sean Payton did at the end of last year and with Bo Nix. I'll take the 6 points on a division round.
So here's what's funny about this. I have three games too. I originally wrote four and crossed one out. One game we have the same, and that's the Giants. They're plus 1.5. They're getting points at home against Sam Darnold. I don't understand the line here, which means you should bet Minnesota, and I'm the dope.
Right.
I mean, if you have any brains, you bet Minnesota. But I don't understand that line at all.
But sometimes they get it wrong. I was legit when I looked at it, because we've been talking about the Giants for weeks on the radio here, and just like, oh, yeah, well, Minnesota, nice team for them week one. I was shocked to see that they were actually underdogs. So I know it's just a point
I mean, listen, if Sam Darnold goes into – whatever it's called, Giant Stadium, the Meadowlands, MetLife, whatever, it's a dump. If he goes into that stadium and wins, the Giants season is going to, I mean, that's it. Shut it down.
They cannot lose week one. Matter of fact, I'm getting itchy. I may jump on and bet that now before the line moves.
I'm telling you, if you are listening to this podcast, load up on the Minnesota Vikings. All right, the other game I have two others. I have the Bills minus 6.5. I am a big believer in addition against Arizona.
Okay.
I'm a big believer in addition by subtraction. I think getting Stephon Diggs out of there is going to help that team a lot. I don't love Sean McDermott as an in-game coach. I think he's terrible with clock management in the game. But I think, you know, everyone's focused on Aaron Rodgers having the chip on his shoulder this year after the injury, and he will. I think Josh Allen's got to have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. You know, it's been established. Mahomes is the best quarterback. That's not even an issue. And then there's that second slot. It was Allen and Burrow. And both of them had their problem, Burrow hurt. But I think people are sleeping on Josh Allen a little bit. You know, I think without Diggs there, that helps them. And I'm not convinced Arizona is going to go on the road in Buffalo. You're laying less than a touchdown. So I like the Bills there. The last game I have is the Chargers minus 3 against the Raiders. Hmm. I think Jim Harbaugh is going to make a huge difference there. Herbert's going to play even though he was injured. I think they're going to run the ball every down. They signed the two backs from the Ravens, Dobbins and Edwards. You're only laying a field goal. They have no home field advantage. There is no home field advantage with the Chargers, but you're only laying 3. I love the Raiders rookie tight end from Georgia, Bowers. He worries me a little bit, but and it's Gardner Minshew here. I think Harbaugh gets started on the right foot. So I would go with the Chargers. So mine are Giants plus Chargers. The one I crossed out, I'll even show it to you if you can see it, the Broncos. Here,
why did they make it? Why did you cross them out?
I don't know because I do like them. I think that whole thing with the Seattle home field, that's done. That used to be a big thing. It's done. But it's still a rookie quarterback on the road. Here's the thing. The line is 6. I may bet it Sunday and do +7 and get the time. I think Sean Payton with Russell Wilson out of there, again, an addition by subtraction thing, I think you're going to see – I think Knicks is going to play well. I just think it's week 1. It's a rookie quarterback. He's on the road. You got to be a little bit careful.
Yeah.
So that's my concern.
I'm just going based on Sean Payton. It's 6 points. No Pete Carroll. I kind of like what Denver right. – well, I do like what Denver did a year ago. I thought they were left for dead. Payton was, you know, overmatched and retire. They got to respectability. I think Denver – he knows how to build a team. Simple as that. So I do coaching a lot. I like your picks, too, with the Bills. I don't know how I overlooked the Bills and Chargers, but I like your logic behind both those as well.
Now, did you look – are you going to bet any over-unders for the season?
I won't bet them, but I do like – I picked 5. I'm not going to go over all of them here. No. I'll give you 3 of my favorites. 1 is Denver. Denver's number is 5.5.
Now, I like them too, but one thing about this, and I'll just say, DraftKings is a complete disgrace, an absolute disgrace, and I'll tell you why. They have, I think it was the Niners. Yeah, it was. I wrote this down. Okay, so you can bet the Niners at 9.5 or 11.5. They don't give you the option to bet 10.5.
Huh.
And the juice on almost all of the totals was crazy. So you mentioned Denver, and I wrote them down too. I like Denver as an over this year as well. They're -140 if you bet them over 5.5.
Not awful, but not good. That's why I usually don't bet the over-unders, because the juice is never good.
Yeah, so just going back to the Niners, for example, you could bet they're over 11.5 at +125. They don't give you the 10.5 option. And then you can bet over 9.5, -475.
Right. So they don't.
So they're not letting you bet they're not letting you bet the Niners.
They make it difficult for you to bet the Niners.
DraftKings has Denver over 5.5 at -140. Or would you rather take a flyer over 6.5 +145?
No, I want over 5.5. I want the number. That's a big game, man.
Yeah, so lay your juice. All right, Denver, I like them too. They're one of the teams I wrote down.
We're probably going to agree on this, the second one. Chargers over 8.5. I don't care who the quarterback is. Harbaugh knows how to win football games. End of story. I'd be shocked if he doesn't win a minimum of 9 games in his first year.
Okay, so you like over 8.5 with the Chargers?
Yeah, what are we looking at?
-155 on DraftKings.
Yeah, that's why I'm not going to bet them. That's stupid. It's a stupid bet.
Right. Do you want to give us a third one?
I'm going to go Washington over 6.5. I don't like Dan Quinn at all, but I do think he's going to help their defense initially and just at least bring some stability and attitude there. And I think that their weapons offensive – I'm not a Cliff Kingsbury fan as far as a head coach, but offensive coordinator with Jaden Daniels, with a lot of the weapons that they have around him, I think they could be better – than people are expecting. Now, look, can they, you know, 6.5 is not easy to get to that 7th win if you're not a good team, but I think Washington will get, I don't think the Eagles or Cowboys will be as good. I think Washington will go over that 6.5.
I like your logic there with Kingsbury as an offensive coordinator. It's -130. So you're laying juice on all those.
Yeah, well, but that's how it always is, and that's why I'm not betting
right.
them.
Right.
I'd rather just bet them week to week than do that.
Right. Yeah, I wrote 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I wrote 7 down, but I don't love all 7. The ones I like the most are over 11.5 for the Chiefs. It's -115. If Mahomes doesn't get hurt, they're going to go over 11.5. And it's right. The juice there is reasonable, -115. I like the under on the Browns, 8.5, +115. Toughest division with the Bengals, the Steelers, and what's the other team in that division?
Ravens.
And I don't know. Deshaun Watson hasn't shown me anything since he's come back from whatever his perverted thing was. So under 8.5 is +115. And this is the problem. I love the Jets over 9.5. The juice is -155. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't get hurt, they're going to win 10 games, the Jets. They have a ton of talent.
Are you worried at all about, like, I have not honestly talked to one person that knows anything about football in any way, shape, or form that hasn't said that they love the Jets over this year. Like, it's the number one Well, again, everybody loves the Jets.
If Rodgers doesn't get hurt and plays in the majority of games, they are loaded offensively. Brees Hall, Garrett Wilson is a dope. I got it. I know. He can't coach.
Yeah, and we don't know about the line. I'm just saying, like, when everybody is all over, and I get it. On paper, right, Rodgers back. I mean, they should win at least 10 games, you would think. But
let's start with this, okay? The total for the Jets, again, is 9.5, but you have to lay major juice at -155. They play two games against the Patriots.
Those are two wins.
Yeah. So to me, their total is really 7.5. Like, that's how I look at it. And then they play, these are the teams they play, the Titans, the Broncos, the Vikings, Cardinals, Colts, Jaguars. They should get, again, I think the only way they don't is if, no, listen, if Rodgers gets hurt, then yeah, then they're not going to win many games. But if Rodgers plays, they'll win those games.
I hate that you have to lay that much juice on that, because I do.
Right.
I want to bet the Giants and Jets just because it's fun for me to have added interest in season for the show. But
so here's the question. If you had to bet it, if you were forced to bet it, would you bet Jets over 9.5 -155, or would you bet Jets over 10.5 +115?
God, I know those wins are so big. Here's why I would consider taking the it would be a stupid bet to leave the win on the table. But if you think, and I agree with you, if you're looking at it saying, well, look at their schedule, Rodgers back, if you think they're going to win more than 9.5, you probably think they're going to win more than 10 as well. Like, their schedule, if you just go based off of paper and their schedule, they're a 12-win team. So you still have some wiggle room there. Well, but I would just lay the big because I would not. It's like in baseball. Do you bet the run line or you just pick the team to win? I can't lay the 1.5 because the team I want to win, I'm betting them to win. I'm not saying they're going to win by multiple runs. That's too hard to predict. I'd rather just lay the extra price and just pick them to win.
If you think the Jets are winning 12 games, then you should bet them over at 11.5 +190.
You didn't give me that option. You only said over 10.5.
Well, and there's 11.5 and 12.5.
Yeah, I'd look into that as opposed to the 9.5. I'm not laying 1.5 bet on one. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you lose that one, now you're losing already at 1.5 bets. There's no way to win the more you do.
You just reminded me. I bet a tennis match. I need to see the score of this. Okay, too much.
What are you doing betting tennis? I didn't even know you had that in you.
I've been betting it every day for 2 weeks.
I didn't know you were into it.
Love the US Open.
Wow. Okay.
I've been betting every match. Tiafo last night, winner as an underdog. Anyway. All right. So that's where we are with week one. We got our week one wagers. We got some over-unders. Ready to go. Did you watch any college football last Saturday?
No. I wanted to. I just didn't have the time, and I really wasn't that into it.
The ratings were huge.
Wonder why that is. Is there any particular reason?
Yeah. Degenerates.
Like, but
they had good games. They had good games, like Georgia Clemson. Well, they had good matchups. The games ended up being dud. Like Notre Dame, Texas A&M was close. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So they had good matchups, and people won football, and people bet. So, we are both former DirecTV customers.
Yes,
I canceled them many years ago, said they're the worst company in America. Do you know there's a dispute? There's like one of those carriage disputes right now where on Saturday, I believe it was, right in the middle of like a US Open match, they went DirecTV, shut down ESPN. And now you can't get any of the Disney-owned channels, which includes all of the ESPN channels, if you have DirecTV. Now, I wrote in my column on Tuesday, I said, they will settle this at like 7:30 on Monday night, right before the Jets and the Niners kick off at 8:00. And now I don't think that's going to happen because DirecTV came out with all these statements Tuesday afternoon. And everything they said was basically dead on. The model is broken. The bundle model is broken. We need to offer customers smaller bundles. We have people who are grown adults who don't have children, and we force them to pay for Disney Plus. They said only 6%, think about this, only 6% of DirecTV customers want to pay for ESPN. We think everybody's a sports fan because that's our world. It's just not.
Right.
But again, I've said this, like, I don't want to pay for C-SPAN. I don't want to pay for the Home Shopping Network. I don't want to pay for Lifetime. And you have to pay for all these channels with the bundles. So DirecTV is trying to take this stance that we need to offer people skinny bundles. So maybe that's where they just offer you the sports channels and this, where you can mix and match. The reason I bring this up, now we both don't have DirecTV now, so we're not affected by this. But the reason I bring this up is because basically every single bar and restaurant airs sports through DirecTV.
Still?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, right. I guess they're not streaming, right?
No. So that's where this is going to become an issue. You want to go to a bar. Now, listen, Sunday Ticket's different. It's on YouTube, so you can still go to the bar. But like Monday Night Football, college football, if you're a big college football fan, your Saturdays are destroyed if you have DirecTV because ESPN has all the big games.
But if you own a bar, you have to get rid of DirecTV. I mean, it's just they have to figure it out. The whole thing is broken. They're right. I don't know if it could be a la carte or how, because it's just they try to screw you every which way. And you know, at first it was to save people money. Now the money is going back up, and you still have to get packages and services that you don't necessarily want. I don't have the right answer, but all I know is that we, as sports fans, are going to do whatever it takes to get our games on. That's the sad reality of the situation. However we need to watch the games, we're going to do it. And that's the button. So they have us in that regard. If there's an MSG package that I need to get, I'm getting it so I can watch the Knicks and Rangers. If I have to watch the Yankees and Mets, I'm figuring it out. Same thing with football. Like, you just figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. You figure it out. But I want – now, you, like I said, usually with these carriage disputes, as soon as there's a big game, it ends. I think this one might drag on for a while.
Well, so DirecTV is going to just say, well, screw it. We don't need to be in the sports market anymore.
I think what DirecTV is thinking is, listen, everyone's canceling cable and satellite in droves. Everyone's going to streaming. We need to it's time now to fix this and change this, because they can go back to the way they were, but they're losing customers hand over fist because everyone's canceling cable and satellite because they're going to streaming.
So how are they going to fix it, though?
They want to be able to offer. So what they want to be able. So like, you know, like if you sign up for, like, I have Fios, you have. Oh, you have YouTube TV now, but let's say you had Optimum or whatever. You go to sign up, they offer you like three or four packages.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and the most expensive to the...
Still with hundreds of channels or whatever.
That they want to be able to offer you maybe like 30 packages, and they can have a package with 10 channels, 20, and or maybe they let the customers pick the channels they want. That's where this has to end up. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know if it's going to end up that way in a year, 5 years, or 10 years, but that's where it has to end up. It has to end up where you let customers pay for the channels they want. But because Disney owns so many different channels.
Right.
Again, so Disney says, okay, you want ESPN in your cable package, you have to take the Disney channel. Not Disney. Right. I said Disney Plus earlier. I meant the Disney channel.
Right.
I don't watch the Disney channel. So like, but I'm paying for it. So, you know.
I don't know the answer, but I do like the idea of smaller. I'd rather pay whatever the number is, 25, 30 bucks for MSG, SNY, like, and not have anything else. I don't care. When I turn my TV on, I don't even want the local news. I don't care. Just make it for me, my TV, all sports stuff. I'm good to go. My wife obviously would be something different. So I don't know how you figure that out, but maybe that is the best way to go.
Now, the last thing for the segment to piggyback on this, I still have cable. Sunday morning, I'm doing stuff around the house. I put the TV on. I start flipping through the channels. I think I was actually Sunday morning doing some prep for the NFL season before the day started. And I come across, it was season one, episode two of The Sopranos on one of the like 10 HBO channels.
Yeah.
And I hit the guide and I see it's on all day. And I'm like, oh boy, this is bad, because now I'm not going to do anything. Then someone on Twitter tells me it's all week long. So basically, Sunday, they aired all of season one. Monday, all of season two. Tuesday, all of season three. Wednesday, et cetera. Because it's all leading up to this documentary on Saturday night. It's a two-part documentary. I think I mentioned it to you last week.
Oh, yeah, about Chase, yeah.
Right.
Or whatever.
I have, so this is why the tennis is great. Basically, every minute of the day since Sunday has been Sopranos on TV one and the tennis on TV two. I have not been off of those two channels since Sunday. I cannot stop watching it. And here's what's crazy. This is probably, I would say, my fifth or sixth full rewatch, and I'm still learning new things.
Like, you have an example?
Remember the episode when the guy from Rocky, Burt Young, Bacala's father, what was his name?
Yeah.
Bacala Sr. He kills that guy, Mustang Sally, Tony.
Yeah.
I didn't realize the connect, like why, they, like that guy, Mustang Sally, put Vito's cousin, no, Vito's brother, in a coma. He beat him up on the street because he was talking to some girl. Blah, right. You know, like I didn't realize that connection of why that.
Okay.
So there was that. There were a couple of other things that were still like revelations to me, but I don't have any of that feeling like, oh my God, I've seen this before. I don't need to see it again. I've got to keep watching this.
Me too. And you know, I've been in the middle of a rewatch. Where are you at? I've just been doing this on my own.
So today is Wednesday. They're doing season four. Now I haven't been able to watch yet because I've been taping podcasts for 3 hours, but they're in season four, which is, it's the season when Tony kills Ralph. It's not my favorite season.
I thought that was season three.
No, season three.
Oh, Jackie Jr. gets it.
Jackie maybe? Jr. Yes, exactly. Season five is the Tony Blundetto season.
Okay. I forgot about that. I'm in season three right now, early on in season three.
Season two and three are my favorites.
Good God. Season two with David, was it David Catino? Whatever.
David Scatino.
Oh my God.
What a degenerate gambler.
I mean, my God, just the frustration that you feel knowing that Tony tried to do the right thing. And then this idiot got caught up and they take
him. How about when the guy owes Tony the money? So Tony takes the car, his son's car, and gives it to Meadow.
That's not the smartest
Tony. But season two is the Richie Aprile season. And then season three is the first season with Ralphie, and that's the Jackie. Those are my two favorite. Janice taking the Russian's leg.
Yeah, I'm not and there then, yet, but yeah. One, two, and three are probably my favorites.
The two Russians beat up Janice. They take her to where she has the locker with the leg in it.
Yep.
And she says, I just can't believe how callous you two are.
Janice. Right.
She took the leg. So those are my two favorite seasons, two and three. But when I'm done with this pod, I got to do a few things. But it's on two different, it's on like HBO something and then HBO West. So you if you're just, behind...
But you have Max, right?
Yes, but again, I'm not going through the the whole process of.
There is no going through.
Yes, there is. You have to hit 10 buttons to get there.
Oh God!
You have to hit 10 buttons to get there on the streaming. This here, I put my TV on and it's on.
I see.
I'm old. I like cable. Goodbye. Enjoy week one. We'll see you next week. I hope you have no problems on Sunday.
Yeah, you too. I'm sure I'm going to.
No, be positive. No problems. Yeah, all right.
Something. All right, I'll talk to you
later. Take it easy. All right, my many, many thanks to Scott Van Pelt and Sal Licata. My thanks to you for listening. Quick reminder, if you missed any recent episodes, go into the archives, check them out. Brian Curtis from The Ringer was on the podcast last week, Kirk Herbstreit 2 weeks ago, Chris Mad Dog Russo 3 weeks ago. Also have recent interviews with Greg Olson and Tom Brady. Check those out before the NFL season kicks off. All right, enjoy week one of the NFL. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. Stay safe and take care.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.